This is, of course, Vachan Rahasyam, class number 14. And these are the verses. Again, we've been discussing about this Viraha Bhav. I heard about Radharani and the gopis. They wanted to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra. Well, we're going to read something from Chaitanya Charitamrita about this whole idea. So we can read that also. Because we were talking the same idea when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Rath Yatra, dancing in Radhabhav, or in the mood of Radharani's Madanakya Mahabhav. Mahaprabhu was feeling like Radharani at Kurukshetra, trying to bring Krishna to Vrindavan. There's some dialogue when, of course, this is in the madness, it's called Unmad, or Divya Unmad, where Chaitanya was in a mad mood. Mad mood? A crazy mind. So he's looking at Lord Jagannath. He said, what? He starts speaking to him. He's standing on the street, the main street in Puri, and he's speaking to Lord Jagannath as if Radharani is directly addressing Krishna. Avasheshe Radha Krishna Kare Nivedan Se Tumi Se Ami Se Navasangam. Jagannath, you are the same Krishna. I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Navasangama. We are meeting in the same spirit as in the beginning. Se Navasangam. We are meeting in the same new spirit as in the beginning. Tadapya Maraman Hare Vrindavan Vrindavani Udai Karo Apanacharan. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. Ihan loka ranya hati, gora ratta dhvani, tahan pushpa ranya bringa, pika nari shuni. Here in Kurukshetra, there are so many crowds and people and elephants, horses, hati, gora, ratta dhvani, and the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, there are pushparanya. Pushparanya means there are forests full of flowers and gardens full of flowers. Radha Bhagicha and Gevarvan and Krishna Bhagicha. Radharani, Mahaprabhu and Radharani's Bhav at Rath Yatra, seeing Jagannath, saying, oh Jagannath, oh Shamsundar, this Kurukshetra is not very nice. It's so noisy here, and it's not sweet noise, it's not sweet sound and musical vibrations and singing of birds. It's rattling of chariots, grumbling and rumbling, and big elephants, and horses, big heavy noise. They don't have these heavy objects. Vrindavan is a light place. It's very light. It's very light and carefree and sweet. Not a heavy pounding chariots and heavy fat elephants and heavy noisy horses everywhere. What's in Vrindavan? There's bail gadi, bullocks. They go very slow, very quiet. Bulls move very slow, very slow. Not tong 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 tong. Heavy chariots and horses and elephants, making big noise. What is in Vrindavan? There are flower gardens and there are bringa pika nadi nadashuni. Bringa nad, like we say. Nad means sound, vibration. Pika nad, bringa nad. What kind of heavy sounds are there? There's no heavy sounds. There's a gentle singing of the pika birds, the gentle warbling of the birds, singing of the birds. And then there's the And there's the bees, just buzzing of the bees. Very, very attractive, charming atmosphere. Ihan Raja Vesha Sange Sabha Kshatriyagan Tahan Gopa Vesha Sange Murali Vadan. Here and there, Kurukshetra Vrindavan, Kurukshetra Vrindavan. Kurukshetra meets Vrindavan, Mathura meets Vrindavan. Radharani's comparing Mahaprabhu and Radhabhav at Rath Yatra. Here it's like that. There it's like this. Here you look like this. There you look like that. I don't like you here. I like you there. Come with me from here to there. This is Rath Yatra. Rath Yatra means going from here to there. It's the same as human life. Human life means going from here to there. It means going from the material world to the spiritual world. Here to there. And here in Kurukshetra you're dressed in Rajvesh, like a royal prince accompanied by great warriors. Sange Sava Kshatriya Ghan. Here it's sub, all everywhere, sub Kshatriya Gan. There's Gopi Gan, Sakhi Gan. So many groups of Sakhi and Gopis. But in Vrindavan, Gopavesh, you appeared like an ordinary coward boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute, Sange Murli Vadan. Krishna has no fear in Vrindavan. When you ever see a politician go anywhere in India? Have you ever seen a politician? You never saw a politician traveling? You never saw a PM at CM? They don't go alone. Many, many jeeps, many, many policemen, many, many machine guns, many, many bombers and this and that. Big fanfare, big noise. Why? Because Mahabhayam. Big, big fear. What terrorist is going to come? Pop, 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 pop. And kill me. And this is in a city. There are no tigers in a city. There are no cobras in a city. There are no lions in a city. There are no wolves. Nothing. But so much fear. So Krishna goes to Kurukshetra. And so many kshatriyas in all directions, with maces and clubs and arrows and bows. Big royal entourage. Dwarkadish. So much fear is surrounding. Of course Krishna is fearless. But in the general, all these politicians. But Krishna's in Vrindavan. He's walking in Vrindavan in a forest full of tigers. 500 years ago, there were so many tigers here. You saw the painting of Raghunath Das Goswami? There was two tigers here and a Radhakund. Now there's so many tigers here. But Krishna was not afraid. Walking through the forest, no bows, no arrows, no lances, no kshatriyas, no black cats, bobcats, any kind of cats. He had all. His only weapon was his Murli Vadan. And Radharani's saying, look at this contrast. Here you're many, sub-kshatriya gan. Oh, entourage everywhere. There you're carefree. Carefree, foot loose and fancy free. Foot loose and fancy free. You're carefree. You're just walking alone. No bodyguards. Not even one. No secret service agents. What do they call it? Secret service? Something like that. Secret service. No private detectives. No security force. Only your Murli. That's a very dangerous weapon, no? Of course, it is a dangerous weapon for the gopis. I want to see you there. You're accompanied only by your beautiful flute, Sange Murli Vadan. Braje Tomar Sange Jay Sukha Aswadan Ye Sukha Sumodrera Ihan Nahayekakan. Here in Kurukshetra, there is not even one drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoy with you in Vrindavan. Just see the difference. In Kurukshetra, there's not a drop of happiness. Can you imagine? Braje Tomara Sangha Ye Sukha Aswadan Se Sukha Sumodrera. It's with you, oh my Lord, oh Shamsundar, oh Pranapriya, oh Priyatam. When I am in Braj with you, wow. Samudra Sukh. If I'm with you in Vrindavan, I'll be swimming and diving in an ocean of happiness. But now I'm with you in Kurukshetra. And Ekabindu, there's not even a drop. Nayeka Khan. Khan means a ray, a drop, anything. And this Kurukshetra is a dry place. It's Pancha, what's it called? Well, there's lakes there called Pancha Samudra. There's five lakes up there, Kurukshetra. And there's a big bunch of lakes there, a bunch of water there. And Radharani's saying, this is a dry place. There's not a drop of Braja Sukh. The Braja Sukh, this is, Braj Sukh is Sukha Samudra. Sukha Samudra and Braj is an ocean of happiness. Amalara Punalila Karaha Vrindavan Tabe Amar Mana Vancha Haya Tapuran Osham. I request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me again. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. Bhagavate Achyache Radhika Vachan Purve Taha Sutra Madhe Kari Yache Varna. I've already described in brief Srimati Radharani's statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a little bit explanation about this, what was happening at Kurukshetra. We heard this verse from Bhajan Rahasyam. at the gopis meeting Krishna Kurukshetra, and he was preaching his Brahma Gyan, and they said, "We don't buy it. Our hearts are not here. They're in Vrindavan." There's actually a few more verses. It goes up to 148. It's almost like Chaitanya Charitamrita inside Bhajan Rahasya class. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we heard, when the gopis, the discussion was when the gopis met Krishna at Kurukshetra, they said, Moramana Vrindavan, you tell us to fix your feet and our minds. We don't have any mind. Our minds are in Vrindavan. Our minds are Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the same mood here. So he says that, Anya Ridayaman Moramana Vrindavan Manevane Eka Karijani Tahanta Marpada Dwaya Karaha Jadi Udaya Tave Tumar Purna Kripamani. In Radhabhav, Mahaprabhu said, Krishna, for most people the mind and heart are one. But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan. And since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? This will be your greatest mercy. Prabhupada has a very nice statement for us to meditate on. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing, by which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. So now, when Lord Chaitanya says, Mora Mana Vrindavan, that my mind is Vrindavan, you may ask the question, how can I make my mind Vrindavan? Because now my mind is cracked. My mind is something different. My mind is not Vrindavan. My mind is a cesspool. My mind is a sewer. How do I make my mind Vrindavan? This is the formula. When my mind is no longer does not accept or reject, it's only fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. I'm not accepting anything of this world for enjoyment or exploitation or control or proprietorship. And I'm not rejecting anything in this world. I'm nonplussed. I'm not affected or influenced or concerned with anything of this world. I only have in my mind Krishna's feet. Of course, when one fixes their mind on Krishna, it doesn't mean they're unconscious to the material world. Prabhupada's mind is always Vrindavan, as we heard a minute ago. But yet he was conscious that he was in New York, and he was conscious where the stairs were and the door was, and he was conscious that he had an audience, and he was speaking Krishna consciousness to them, teaching them Bhagavad Gita. But his mind was always fixed in Vrindavan, as he said, because Krishna's lotus feet were always fixed in his mind. Wherever Krishna is, that there is also Radharani, the gopis, the coward boys, and all the inhabitants in Vrindavan. Thus, as soon as one fixes Krishna in his mind becomes identical with Vrindavan. When one's mind is completely free from all material desires and engaged only in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one always lives in Vrindavan and nowhere else. This is Srila Prabhupada's purport for Madhya Leela, chapter 13, verse 137. This, of course, is the perfect description of Srila Prabhupada himself. This is Prabhupada's autobiography. Let's take the liberty to rephrase this sentence. If Prabhupada was to write in a very bold way, his autobiography would say, "My mind is completely free from all material desires, and I am engaged only in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And consequently, I always live in Vrindavan and nowhere else." Because that's a fact for the pure devotee. Rephrase the sentence in the purport. Because he's saying, when one is like this, when one's mind is completely free, well, the only one I know like that The only one I know whose mind is completely free from material desires is my Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. And the only one I know that's completely engaged in the service of Krishna is Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is always living in Vrindavan. And we're following him. And all of you are following him. So hopefully, one day, all of us will be completely free from all material desires, always engaged in the service of Krishna, and always living in Vrindavan and nowhere else. This is the prayojana, isn't it? This is the goal of Krishna consciousness, the goal of human life. Pranata shunamora satya nivadan braja amar sadan tahan tamar sangam na paili na rahai jivan. Radharani continues, Mahaprabhu speaking, "Oh, my Prananath, oh, master of my life, oh, Prananath, kindly hear my true submission, my Nivedan, Satya Nivedan. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there, Braj Amar Sadan, Sangam. But if I do not get it, then it will be very difficult for me to keep my life. If I don't attain it, then Na rahe jivan. I will die." Prabhupada has some very powerful purports here. He says, only when the mind is free from designations can one desire the association of Krishna. Only when the mind is free from designations, upadi, can one desire the association of Krishna. Because as long as we have upadis or material designations, then our desires will be connected to that upadi. If I have upadi means designation or identification. If I say I'm the body, then my desires will be connected to the body. But when I say I'm Krishna's service, then my desires will be connected to serving Krishna. And I'll desire Krishna as his service. Sarva upadi vinira muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. This is Padma Puran, which is the basis or the underlying concept incorporated into Rupa Goswami's definition of Uttam Bhakti. Manya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyan Avitam Anukalina Krishnanu Shinalam Bhakti Uttama. The mind must have some occupation. The mind is a very busy person. He's not lazy. He's not on the dole. He's not on a dole, he's not on welfare. He's very, very busy, very active. Active foolish, the monkey of the mind. If a person wants to be free of material things, his mind cannot be vacant. There must be some subject matters for thinking, feeling, and willing. Unless one's mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, very powerful purports. This is Madhya Lila chapter 13, 130, all this, 136, 137, 138. Unless one's mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, and a desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. To put it simply, your mind is either full of Krishna or full of Maya. Those who have given up all material activities and have ceased thinking of them should always retain the ambition to think of Krishna. Without Krishna, one cannot live, just as a person cannot live without some enjoyment for his mind. Like a fish, if you take a fish out of water, he dies. A fish cannot live without water. So a true devotee of the Lord, he dies without the association of Krishna. He cannot live for a moment without hearing or thinking, or feeling, or willing, or serving Krishna. These are all, of course, verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are echoing and confirming and elaborating upon the verse that we cited from the Bhagavatam, where the gopis were meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra and missing him and wanting to take him back to Vrindavan. So that same scenario that was 5,000 years ago in Kurukshetra was happening 500 years ago in Jagannath Puri when Lord Chaitanya was at the Rath Yatra. Because his mind, Bhavan Kanti, it says that Krishna accepted the Bhavan Kanti of Radharani, the golden color of Radharani, Tapta Kanchana, and the Bhav, the Mahabhav, the heart, the color and complexion of Radharani in her heart. Radharani's heart is full of Mahabhav. Mahabhava is the greatest expression of love, which expresses the greatest type of separation and the most intense form of intimate conjugal union. These are the two aspects of Mahabhava. The river of Mahabhava has two embankments. One is the embankment of separation, and one is the embankment of union. The embankment of separation is called Viraha Tata, and the embankment of union is called Sambandha Tata. Embankment, Tata. Say, Tireya, like that. Tata means bank. Therefore, Mahabhu is speaking like Radharani in Kurukshetra during Rath Yatra. So here, by hearing Mahaprabhu and through his audharya kripa, his magnanimity and generosity, by his example and his display of Mahabhav and Brajabhav, we are able to move into the hearts of the gopis and move into a deeper and clearer understanding of the Mahabhav of the Brajagopis through the mercy of Mahaprabhu displaying Radha's Mahabhav in Puri during the Rath Yatra. This Kurukshetra. If we just go directly to Kurukshetra and directly to the Bhagavatam and try to enter the hearts of the Brajagopis and try to understand their Viraha Bhav and their separation from Krishna, will be very difficult. But by going through Gaur-lila, that becomes the gateway or the passageway, because it's imbued with mercy. We get, strengthened and nourished with the sufficient power of entry and power of understanding to penetrate the deep secrets of Krishna Leela and Krishna's pastimes with Radharani and Vrindavan by the mercy of Mahaprabhu's Leela. Mahaprabhu Leela gives access to Radha and Krishna's Leela because it's called Audharya. You can't taste the sweetness of the honey jar without opening the lid. If you run to the jar, oh, I've got it, I have the honey jar. Oh, but I can't open the lid. It's very tightly sealed on, glued on here. And you try, oh, can you open this for me? Like the wife says to the husband, she's a little cumjor. And she can't open, she's not all, but some. You can't open the lid of the jar. So the husband says, yes, I can open it. Flexes his muscles and puffs out his chest. And he opens the jar. Some jar is stuck. So the treasury of Krishna and Leela, the deeply confidential Rahasya Leela of Radha and Krishna, is tightly sealed and tightly shut, glued shut. This Madhurya, this sweet honey Madhurya Leela of Radha and Krishna, is confined and condensed and secured and bottled up in this Vrindavan. And very difficult to open. But Mahaprabhu Leela, Braj Leela is the honey jar. And Gaur Leela opens the cap. Gaur Leela opens the cap of the honey jar. That's Audharya. Audharya gives access to Madhurya. So the Audharya is the mercy, the ability to enter the Madhurya. The ability, the entrance, the power, the mercy, the qualification to enter the Madhurya Leela of Radha Krishna comes by entering to, surrendering to, meditating on, remembering, and praying to the Audharya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because there are two sides of the same coin. If you have one coin, you have heads on one side, tails on the other side of the coin, the money. The Madhurya Leela has two sides. Radha and Krishna dancing in Rasamandal on one side, and you flip it on the other side, and you see Gadadhar, Gaura Gadadhar, Radharani, Gaura Gadadhar, dancing with everyone at Shiva Sangam in the Sankirtan Mandali. It's called Sankirtan Mandali, the Rasamandali in Shiva Sangam. That's on one side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is Radha and Krishna dancing in Rasamandal in Vrindavan. Braj Mandal, Gaur Mandal. Audharya Mandal, Madhurya Mandal. This is what we're getting that mercy here by Krishna's Kaviraj, giving us that access. Purve Udava Dwarhe Ebi Sakshadamhare Joga Gyane Kahila Upai Tumi Vigdagda Kripamai Janaha Amara Ridai More Ache Kahite Naju Jai. Radharani continues in Rath Yatra in the mood of Kurukshetra. Oh, my dear Krishna, you were previously staying in Mathura. You sent Uddhava to teach speculative knowledge, yoga gyan, and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind does not accept it. There is no place in my mind for Gyan Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, although you know me very well. Janaha Amara Ridai. Janaha Amara Ridai. You know me very well, Krishna, but still, you are instructing me in Gyan Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. It is not right for you to do so. It is not at all befitting for you to speak like this. You know my heart, but you're Vidagda. You're very funny, you're being very humorous. But why don't you be Kripamaya? To me, Vidagda Kripamaya. You're very humorous, it's making good fun, coming here to Kurukshetra and telling me about Gyan Yoga and Dhyan Yoga. Are you for real? Are you for real? You know my heart. Amara Ridai, Janaha Amara Ridai. You know my heart. What is this? Are you joking? I get serious, as we say. Chitta kadi toma haiti, mishaye chahi lagati, jatna kadi nari kadi bhari, tari jana shiksha karaha, loka hasana mar, stana stana nakara vichari. I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are simply ludicrous, ridiculous, stupid. In this way, you are killing me. Loka Hasana Mara. You're killing me while people in general are laughing. It's not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. Stana stana nakaravichari. Don't consider this to be a proper or improper place. Don't waste your instructions over here. Nahi gopi yogeshwara, para kamala tomara, dhyan kari paive santosh, tomara vakya paripati, tara madhye kutinati, shuni gopira arobhade rosh. The gopis are not mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on lotus feet and imitating so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is simply another type of duplicity, kutinati. When the gopis are instructed to undergo mystic yoga practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more angry with you. Relax, meditate. What are you saying? It's not possible. I think we're some yogis, some cheap bogus yogis or something. You know who we are. You know our hearts. Why are you speaking like this? Prabhupada's purport. In Vrindavan, the gopis, coward boys, and even the calves, cows, trees, and water are fully conscious of Krishna. They are never satisfied with anything but Krishna. That's a nice thing. Deha smriti nahi jara, samsara kupa kahantara. Tahan haiti na chahi udhara. Viraha samudra jali, kama timingale gile. Gopigani nehatara par. The gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the timingala fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis should be delivered from the mouths of these timingala fish. And in case you don't know what a timingala fish is, I will tell you. There is something, a very large aquatic creature in the ocean called a whale. You know a whale? Very big. Sometimes they swallow boats. At least they have a play like that. Moby Dick got his boat swallowed by a whale. And very, very big. But a timingala fish, so much big that he eats whales like pakoras. A whale is like a pakori. And he just opens them up, pops them, and eats them up. So the gopis are comparing this separation. They're in an ocean of separation. In that ocean, there's these huge timingala fish gobbling up, swallowing the gopis. And they're begging Krishna, please deliver us from the mouths of these timingala fish. In Vrindavan, you delivered all the boys from the mouth of Agasura and from the mouth of Bakasura. Well, what about us? They're small timers. Agasura and Bakasura were tiny, insignificant, puny demons. Compared to this timingala fish, of magnanimous proportions of separation. We're being swallowed by. Can't you please deliver us? Are we less than the gopas? Are we less than the coward boys? Krishna, the gopis have no desire for liberation. They have no conception of material life. So why do they you say that we should meditate and strive for liberation. Do you know what we say? We don't have any conception of material life, and therefore, why should we aspire for liberation? Because liberation means you're in the material world and you want to get out of it. You're in material conception, you want to get out of it. The gopis, she says, we don't have any material conception. We don't have any material world. So why are you telling us to strive for liberation? Because it's irrelevant. One thing depends on the other. They're causal, cause and effect. We gopis, we don't want the liberation that's desired by the jnanis and yogis. So why are you telling us to follow their process of meditation, which leads to that end? We're already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It's obvious. They just want to serve Krishna. Mukti swayam mukti tanjali sevate sman. Liberation stands before me with folded hands begging to serve me. So there's a few more verses. We can continue tomorrow.